night. A pair of jeans that fit just right. And a radio.
Yes! Woo! Happy Friday, everybody.
Happy Friday.
Air horn, air horn. I heard you call it a ham horn one time.
That's what it's called on my app.
Yeah, I saw that too. Well, I wonder why it's a ham horn.
Probably like air horn is a
like look
patented,
at me, I'm a ham. Right.
You know? They have to call it something else.
It's a very
going ham.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not kosher, but
yeah.
It's good to see you again, Sarah Tiana.
It's so good to see you.
How's it going?
It's good.
Yeah.
Relaxing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful day out here in Los Angeles.
Yeah, we've had some really lovely days. And it's so green now because we had so much rain. So
yeah.
That's so nice to see the mountains like that.
I mean, we're skipping this whole nor'easter thing. They had four in a row up there. So we're very, very lucky
yeah,
over here.
I know.
And it is pretty windy, but I don't mind that.
It's so windy. People are freezing
right now.
A lot
to complain about.
It's so windy. Can you do something about that? What was I?
Well, do you have a doctor's appointment or something? Did
yes.
you say you had? Because I talked about my my exam.
This is just to get this is like a psychology appointment. This is more just for my head.
I need to do that.
Yeah, my lady's great.
Yeah, where is she?
She's right in Hollywood.
Okay.
On Wilcox and Sunset by the CNN building.
Do you feel like you could just,
talk
about
anything?
I'm
going to be recommending my chiropractor. I've recommended my chiropractor. You have not gone to him?
I haven't had time.
Oh.
I'm just here for 2 days.
I know.
I leave tomorrow for Myrtle Beach. But I did this. I want to talk about this. I did this corporate gig in Vegas.
Okay.
And it's the first time in my whole career I've done this. It started at 8 a.m. Oh, no. That's like every Friday. That's every second show Friday.
Okay, it started at 8 a.m.?
8 in the morning.
Wait a second.
Yeah.
That's
when I was going on stage. The show started at 8 o'clock in the morning.
And you were first up?
Yeah.
You bit the bullet at 8 a.m.?
The CEO of iPipeline, it's a big insurance firm. They do everything insurance-wise.
Okay.
I couldn't even explain it.
But, did they take out insurance on your set? If you don't do good,
here's
what you owe us.
Right. Is there a backup plan?
Is there a copay?
Yeah. It was. I don't really know much about insurance, but this is funny. Like, they were calling me up way beforehand saying, hey, we love your comedy. We've seen it on YouTube and stuff, and everyone says you're really good. Can you cater your jokes to maybe the insurance business? Do you know anybody that works in insurance? I'm like, oh, of course.
Oh, no.
100%.
Sure. Of course.
So I tried.
Uh-oh.
It was fine. It went really well.
Okay.
I just said, thanks to you guys, I've always felt pretty safe because my dad should have died a lot of times. But we were always covered, thanks to you. But he didn't die. Let me tell you the story.
And
I just got into it.
I see.
So it looked like I did.
So you turned your jokes into insurance jokes.
I sure did.
Have you ever insured? You should insure your set. J-Lo insures her butt. You could insure athletes insure their legs or whatever for money. It's like.
Well, I think it's Aflac is supplemental insurance, right? So if you break your arm and you miss work, they'll pay you for the days that you miss, right? That's what that is. So I wonder if we could get that for comedians. What if I lose my voice?
Yeah.
And I can't perform?
Yeah.
Are they going to give me some cash? I wonder if that's something we could do.
You'd have to prove it, I guess, right?
I guess so.
That's the whole part is proving that we don't, that we missed work and we didn't want to.
Right.
Yeah. Because there's been plenty of times when I'm like, I do not feel like going out.
Right, so if I just say I can't talk, I'll still get the cash.
Yeah.
Is
that
the
same as oversleeping? So how long were you in Vegas?
Oh, my God.
Was
it
fun?
So I flew, check this schedule out.
Uh-huh.
I flew, I had a gig in South Carolina, had a gig in D.C. 2 days later, which got canceled. Long story. Then the next day, Virginia Beach. The next day, Richmond, Virginia. Day off. The next day, St. Patrick's Day in Raleigh, North Carolina. 2 days off. Was going to go back home and visit the folks. They said, no, Vegas. So I flew from Raleigh I'm sorry, Charlotte to Vegas on the 19th. That's a Monday. And then did a show the next day, Tuesday morning, flew out after the show. So okay. I was there 16 hours.
Did you gamble?
No, I didn't have time.
What?
I would have.
You must have been, you were just so tired from traveling
already.
It was
that, and I was behaving myself because I knew I had to do a show at 8 a.m.
And about insurance.
Yeah. but they were hungover. So they went out and partied, but I didn't. You know?
Oh, my God.
So I just did my gig and left and then went to went back to Florida.
But, we didn't talk. Go ahead.
No, I didn't. You know, when you check into the hotel, you walk past all the gambling, and I wanted to, but I did not this time.
I didn't tell you about St. Patrick's Day weekend.
Oh, what'd
I
you do?
In Vegas with Daniel Tosh.
That's right. And you got on a jet.
I forgot to tell you about that last week. Yeah.
Please talk about that.
Yeah.
I want to know everything.
It was a totally different way of experiencing Vegas. Like, I have never experienced it. First of all, it was the first weekend of basketball. So it was like of the NCAA tournament. So it was already packed. And it was St. Patrick's Day weekend. So it was already packed.
Oh, that's going to be a shit show.
Yeah. So we get on the plane. It's like me and Daniel and his wife. And then Daniel's tour manager, who also writes on his show. And then his
question.
Mm-hmm.
His wife? I didn't know he was married.
Yes.
I wonder how long he's been married.
They've been married for 3 years. They've been dating five.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't
Carly,
know that.
She is amazing.
Yeah.
And actually, she and I realized that she realized that she knew me because she used to be in the sketch company that I started.
What?
Yeah, but we just like weren't in the same show, or she might have subbed for me. I do not remember her
that
company because I was like, you know, 1 foot in, 1 foot out all the time.
Okay.
But yeah, she was in a show called Girth, Wind, and Fire that my friend Byron Bowers was in, and Josh Adam Myers was in that show, like all these guys. So Carly used to write on Tosh.0, and then they started dating, and so
she doesn't
work on that show anymore, but now she writes on Brooklyn Nine-Nine. So,
Yeah,
she's doing just fine.
Yeah.
And she's incredible and so funny and so cute, and just like Daniel, like he is hilarious.
Yeah.
So his tour manager came, Pete, and Pete writes on the show as well as Pete's wife.
Okay.
She also writes on the show, so her and Carly are friends.
Okay.
Daniel's wife. And then Todd Glass came.
Oh, cool.
I know,
fun.
Which is just like
nonstop
laughter, right? Because like Todd...
He's so contagious too. Like you can't not be in a great mood when Todd Glass is around.
And he is... first of all, him and Daniel have known each other for 15, almost 20 years.
Uh-huh.
And Todd Glass is extremely gullible, just like me.
Oh, no kidding.
Which makes... So Daniel is literally just picking on the two of us the whole, like I'm believing everything, you know, and I mean, from start to finish, first of all, like his dogs came with us. He has two cute little dogs.
One, Todd's or Daniel's?
Todd.
Okay.
I mean, sorry, Daniel's dogs.
Okay.
And like, they're never like more than like 2 feet from him. He brings them out at the end of the show. Like they just, they're so comfortable going everywhere. And so they just like walk straight on the plane when they get out of the car. Like, it's so funny. I'm like, what
like, kind
I'm
of dogs
not even that
they?
Confident. They're like little
small dogs,
like fluff, little, like a sharp Shih Tzu kind
yeah,
of
yeah,
like
yeah.
things.
I gotcha.
Like not the teeny tiny ones, but like the furry ones.
And fluffy and fun.
Yeah.
Okay.
They're really sweet. And so anyway, we get on the plane. Two of the people on the plane, like Todd and Pete's wife, I forget her name. They're terrified of flying, and it's a small plane.
Right.
And so, of course, Daniel's like, oh, that never happens, like half the time, you know?
Just messing with him.
Yeah, and I didn't realize we were going to be sitting so close, and so I was wearing flip-flops because I had gotten a pedicure that day, so I was super uncomfortable. My feet were showing. So anyway, we land, we get off the plane, we get into the car because we're at the Mirage. So the Mirage, we picks us up in like their car. They drive us to the Mirage to this back gate, which I didn't even know there was.
Okay.
And so that takes us to this like fountain area, and it's like this private entrance to the hotel.
Okay. Oh, all right.
Yeah. So then you go in there that way, and that's where the villas are. Okay. Did you know that the Mirage had villas?
I knew Caesars had villas. I didn't know the Mirage.
Yeah. So I didn't know this existed at all in Las Vegas.
Rodney Carrington stays at those places. Right. Yeah.
So apparently, like, some of my friends knew because Spade has performed at this Mirage Theater and, like, Swartzen and a lot of those guys. So, like, when they've stayed with or performed with those guys, they've seen him. But, like, we went to watch the games in Daniel's room the next day. And so there's two bedrooms, but six bathrooms.
Okay.
And this place is huge.
Wow.
Right?
Yeah.
And there's a big living room and a dining room. And then there's like a second like TV room.
Yeah.
And then there's a big grassy lawn in the back for the dogs. And then a pool and a jacuzzi and then a putting green on the other side.
I mean, that you all have to yourself.
That's for him. That's and his. The tour manager and his wife. They all stay there.
That's awesome.
And we were in just like the tower rooms or whatever. So, which were still really, they were suites and they were really nice. And we got in, there's a bottle of wine. There's all this food. And then we also got like a tab on the room. So we didn't pay for any food.
Nice.
He orders us dinner the night of the show. Then we go back to the room and eat the dinner after the show. Then we walk out. So my boyfriend came too. So he ate with us. Then we walk out to the floor, to the, it's the only time Daniel goes out on the floor.
The casino floor.
Casino floor.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
And we go into the like high stakes area.
Oh, right.
Of course.
Where the whales go.
Yeah, and there's a table reserved for Daniel, and we can play any denomination we want on blackjack.
Wow.
So, you know, he's not playing a lot. He's playing like $25. I'm playing $10. You know? And I go to the bathroom at one point and I have like, I don't know, like about $80. I started with $100.
Uh-huh.
I have like $80 left. I go to the bathroom. I come back out. All of my chips are in.
Oh, no.
And I'm like, what? What's going on? Like, no, no. You know, and then, of course, I lose.
Oh, no.
And Daniel was like, no, he covered it.
Yeah,
he
I got
was just
you.
Trying to play. He's right, like, but if you won, you'd be so happy right now. I was like, yeah, but I didn't win, you know?
Right.
And so we were up and down. We must have played for 2 or 3 hours. And it was so funny because we were playing like, there's like $25,000 chips.
Yeah, that's
insane. It's like $5 million chips in front of this lady. And, you know, we're playing like with $5 and $25 chips, right? So, of course, the waitress never comes by because she's like, you could keep your $5.
Oh, right, right. Yeah. I'll be over here at this big table.
I'll be over here where they have these high chips over here.
Right.
So, you know, we felt bad. But anyway, the very last hand, you know, I have, you know, I think I probably still had like $80 left. And so we're going to play one more hand. So then I get two like nines or something.
Oh, okay.
Or two tens.
Something.
I had to split them.
You had to split them.
I had to split them because like the dealer was showing a four.
Okay.
So the dealer's showing or a six, four. She's showing a four, so she's probably gonna bust.
So everyone said you should split these cards.
They're like, you should split them.
And you split them.
So I just do whatever I'm told, basically at the table, because I don't want
to
mess anybody.
That's the best thing to do. Right.
When people, my boyfriend really knows how to play blackjack.
Yeah.
And he gets so mad when people play wrong.
I know those people.
And I cannot stand playing blackjack with him because all he does is complain about what other people are doing.
Right.
And I'm like, shut the fuck. Like, who cares? Just play your game.
Yeah.
And like sometimes I just feel like I should hit, and other times I don't feel like I should.
Right. And then people get very upset.
They get very upset
when you don't
do it the right way.
Right.
So luckily, Daniel's sitting in the last seat, so he kind of has the most power.
Uh huh. He's
so
at third base.
He's the So he's the one who decides what cards the dealer gets, technically, right? So I end up splitting my cards, and then end up having to double down on both of them.
Fun.
I get a blackjack on one.
Boom.
Right, and then I get like a 19 or an 18 on the other one. So then Chris gets his, and he has a good hand, and he has a bunch of money on his. Then Daniel gets his. He decides to split his. He doubles down on one, and then he gets a blackjack on the other one. And the dealer's showing a four. So he doubles down on blackjack.
Oh, okay.
Right?
Okay.
He has an ace and a 10. So he doubles down, thinking she's going to bust.
Oh, boy.
Right.
Uh-huh.
And because he doubles down, he gets another card, right?
Uh-huh.
So he had, you know, 21 or 11.
Yeah.
So then he gets another card, which is, you know, the most he can get is a 10.
Yeah.
So he gets like an 8 or something.
Okay.
And so then the dealer busts.
Okay, good.
Yeah. All right. Because, and
I thought you were going to say the dealer like built up to 21.
Yeah, but if she had, like, I think he got, or maybe he got a 6 or something, but if he hadn't have taken that card, she would have hit like 19.
Oh, she, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So she ends up busting and we all.
Well, he saved the table.
Yeah. And so I doubled my money and like almost everybody did. And then we just like,
so you
all
went from $10 to 20.
Exactly. So yeah,
it's still fun,
crazy fun to be able to play that way and like know.
I mean, Daniel wasn't putting in big.
Oh yeah, he started playing bigger and big. Yeah. You know, he dug into his wallet a couple times, but he ended up winning twice as much as he came in with as well.
Oh, that's a victory.
Plus, he was betting on literally every possible thing you could bet on the games.
Okay.
So he was betting
all the basketball games.
On all the basketball games.
I didn't know he was such a big bettor.
Yes.
That's
so
pretty
apparently
cool.
Apparently, he only does that show at the Mirage when during big sporting events.
Okay.
So the last time they were there was the Super Bowl. So they came in with all these tickets to turn in because from their winnings at the Super Bowl.
Sweet.
So then March Madness, and then I think probably during the Masters or something. And then, so he organizes all of his shows there because he's been there for 7 or 8 years.
Nice.
Yeah. So it was
fun. Yeah. I mean, just to be a part of that game. Mm-hmm.
And then after the show that on Friday night was at 10 p.m., the show on Saturday was at 7:30. So Todd and I order dinner while we're on stage, like before we go on stage. Mm-hmm. Then we eat it while Daniel's on stage.
Right.
And then when the dogs go on stage, we go to the car, which is already packed up. And then he walks onto the car. We go to the plane, and we were home by 11:15.
You just got a taste of the best life.
Yeah, and I was like, you know, at first you're like, I want to stay another night in Vegas, but there is nothing better than waking up on Sunday morning at home,
right?
And having the whole day.
That's amazing.
As opposed to travel, I normally travel on Sundays, and I always take the first flight out because I'm like, I'd rather just sleep at home. I don't need to sleep here again.
Yeah.
I'd rather sleep at home, but being able to wake up at home on Sunday, that's
now
a
you're
rare.
Now you're spoiled.
You're
gonna be chasing that carrot for the rest of your life.
I think like people really don't realize as comedians, like Sunday is a really important day because we don't ever get a day off because we work in our head, right?
Sure.
But also, say I have a Tuesday off.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean the industry has a Tuesday off.
Right.
You know, all of our managers and everybody's working that day. So
sure.
On Tuesdays, you're going to get still tons of emails and
a voiceover, all kinds of stuff can happen.
So on a Sunday, everybody has the day off.
Right.
And so it's so important to have. That's why I always take Sundays off.
Yeah.
When I have to do a show on a Sunday, it's really torture.
How was the shows themselves?
Oh, they were fantastic.
Yeah.
You know, they were some of the best.
Was it just you and Daniel? Was there another? Todd?
Todd went first.
Okay. So yeah, Todd did what? How much time?
We both did 15.
15?
Yeah. And we could do 12 to 15. I mean, it was like nothing.
That's great.
I mean, nothing.
That's
like,
great.
2 sets. I didn't pay for a single thing except gambling, you know.
It's good to be friends with Daniel Tosh.
Yeah. And he was so funny and so charming and so nice. And like, he literally did every possible thing he could for us.
That's awesome. I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah.
Because I like him.
Yes.
And I like it when people I like turn out to be nice people as well.
And he talked about like the rumors about him being gay, you know.
Because
I guess there was like something like, maybe like 8 years ago, like you could just type in the word is and it would come up, is Daniel Tosh gay? It was like the very first thing.
That's funny.
And like the second one was ISIS. Like those were the top two.
Is Daniel Tosh gay? ISIS. Is he ISIS?
Yeah. So anyway.
That's funny.
I know you wanted to call your mom.
Going to say this. The closest I've gotten to that was with Rodney Carrington as well. And he was performing I forgot where, but casinos, same thing, villa, all that stuff. And we go, he goes, stick around because Toby Keith is coming and we're all going to go gambling. Because Toby Keith happened to be in Vegas the same weekend that Rodney was performing, his big rodeo weekend or something.
So
all the guys were there, you know. And we went and played blackjack at the high stakes table. And I said, I can't, I'm going to sit here with you guys, but I can't, you know. And he's like, I got you. So I was gambling with their money and started doing well.
Oh, yeah.
And then, because they were getting hammered, like we were getting really drunk.
Were you taking just one at a time?
Well,
like
what I did was I go, I started winning all this money. I was like, God, I'm getting tipsy. I think I'm going to head on back to the room. I was like, all right, buddy, I'm just cash out. Take this with me.
Yeah.
So yeah, I got to gamble with their money and keep it.
You did?
Yeah, it was nice.
Oh, my God.
I think they knew, I mean, it's like a gift. Right. You know, there's nothing to them. But wow. That's a lot of fun, that whole thing. And it was a jet. You guys, yeah. You're right. There's not, I mean, the best gig is where you can fly in, do the gig, and then fly back.
Yes.
When so the first time that ever happened to me was when Rodney Carrington, again, I was on a sitcom. He goes, hey, what are you doing this weekend? I go, well, I have off. My girlfriend's coming to visit me, and we're just going to. He goes, well, why don't you come with me and open up, I forgot, it was some theater somewhere in like Wisconsin or something. Mm-hmm. I go, well, I got to go get a plane ticket. So it's the same situation, right? He goes, just meet me at the Burbank Airport. I'll fly us out there. So, and I'm this is how you impress a girl too.
Mm-hmm.
I said, well, we're going to go change the plans. We're going to Wisconsin, open up for Rodney Carrington. So I drive my car straight like through it's a different gate in Burbank, mm-hmm. you know, where they got the private jets.
Yeah, it's the Disney place.
Yeah.
Disney Aviation is what it's called.
Yep, mm-hmm. And you just pull right in. There's a valet guy, takes your keys, takes your bag. You go right up to the plane. We flew to the gig, limo waiting, mm-hmm. drove to the gig. Crowd's already there. It's maybe like 40 minutes to kill. Do the gig, signs autographs, back that night, just like what you were saying.
Woo!
And I've been chasing that dragon ever since.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like, well, remember when we went with Brad Paisley?
Yes, yes.
And
that's the only other time I've ever been in a jet like that.
Yeah, that was the only time I'd ever been in one.
Yeah.
Besides this time with Daniel. And like, I can completely understand why artists need the name of the city written down sometimes. Now, Brad did not need that because he's such a pro. But like, you know, you've heard stories of like artists saying like, hello, Des Moines. And they're like in Cleveland, you know? Because we got off the plane and we like literally walked off the plane onto the bus.
Yeah.
And the bus has the shades down.
That's right.
We pulled up to the stadium back door.
Yeah.
Walked out into the dressing rooms and then onto the stage, then back on the bus, then
so
back
great.
On the plane. I mean, it was literally like we were barely outside except to perform.
Yeah.
Well, we actually didn't perform that time. We just went to go see him.
That
we just
was better. Yeah. We didn't have to do anything.
We didn't have to do anything. We were literally there just to drink and hang out with him.
Yeah, he poured Guinnesses for us.
Yeah, he doesn't drink. He just poured alcohol
like
and drinks.
He likes to do it.
Oh, he loves to do it. Remember when his dad was driving the bus? His dad drives the bus.
Oh, God.
Yeah,
I vaguely remember that. Okay.
Yeah, his dad drives the bus. His dad's so cute. Loves
That's super
driving
cool.
the bus.
Yeah.
Because he's retired and it's like his fun little thing to do. And
yeah.
Yeah. I mean, but I was like, you could tell me I was anywhere right now. I would have no idea where I was.
Right.
I would just know we were in the air for about an hour.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Anywhere within an hour.
Oh.
Yeah.
We got to do that again. Brad, are you listening? I know he listens to every Friday podcast.
He loves them.
What's up, Brad? We would love to build your jet again. So feel free to have us open up for you again. But yes, you're right. It's been a minute since we've checked in with Betty Boo.
I know.
Should we give her a call and see if she wants to review a movie?
Sure.
All right. Well, normally when we do this, we're at the All Things Comedy podcast studios. But we're in my house.
Can we help?
So we're going to have to like, yeah, here.
And we're going to share this headphones.
And then I'm going to call mom.
Mm-hmm.
We should take a picture of this.
Yeah. I'll take a picture while you call your mom.
Okay. And you guys, get ready for some movies. I wish we could play the song, too. Can you hear it ringing?
Yeah, I can hear it.
Okay. All right, good. Aaron, put this in post.
Hello.
Hey, mama.
Hi. Hey there.
What's
How are
going
you?
On? Good. Say hey to Sarah.
Hi, Sarah.
Hi, Miss Betty. So happy to hear your voice. It's been too long.
It has been a while.
Yeah.
We're doing this from my house this time. Normally we call you, from the studio, and Aaron's with us, but it's just me and Sarah this time. And we thought we'd check in and get a Betty's movie review from you.
From the international superstar.
Yes, people
Betty
are
Reed.
Demanding it. So, but first, last podcast, Sarah and I were talking about Easter and all that kind of stuff. And it reminded me of the time Dad got some rabbit food for the neighbor. Is he there? I'd like to get the story.
Okay, hold on a minute.
Sarah, I think you're going to like this.
Oh, no.
Yeah, my dad's famous for doing weird stuff.
Okay.
And I think my neighbor had rabbits, and he was trying to be nice and get them rabbit food for Easter. But it wasn't food.
Oh.
Hello.
Hey, Dad.
Hi.
Hello, how are you?
We're good. We're yeah. good.
I was just, you know, Easter's coming up, and it reminded me of the time that you got the neighbors some rabbit food or something.
Well, sort of. We had a couple of Dykes moved in next door.
Oh my God.
No, their last name is Dyke.
Oh.
Their last name was Dyke. I love saying that though.
Yeah. Anyways, that's anyways. Their name.
Oh my God.
And there was two of them.
I was so yeah. nervous.
Really that's nice awesome. People.
Yes.
I love
yes.
them. Anyway, one year at Easter, being the jokesters that they were, they thought they would plant little eggs all over our yard. So they got hundreds of these little plastic eggs and went to all the trouble to glue golf tees to the bottom of them so that they could just stick them in the ground and they would stand straight up. And yeah. they did that all over the yard. We woke up Easter morning and our yard's full of eggs. took a little while to figure out who it was, but I knew then when I figured out who it was, I was going to have to plot my revenge.
Right.
Right. So the next year at Easter, I found a baby pen, a little playpen that you should put a child in.
Right.
At a yard sale. And I had a friend of mine who raised rabbits. His name was Mountain Mullinax. And he had just all kinds of rabbits. So I asked him if he had a couple that I could borrow for a day or two. And he said, sure. So he brought the rabbits and brought a little bag of what I thought was rabbit food.
Right.
Yeah. And so I thanked him and I took the rabbits. And on the night before Easter morning, I took this playpen and I set it out in their yard and put the little bunnies in it. And so that they would have some food, I put this rabbit food that was in a bag on their front steps.
Right. But well, it wasn't rabbit food, was it?
As it turns out, it wasn't rabbit food.
Uh-oh.
It's an odd thing. Rabbit food and rabbit deposits looks very similar.
They look exactly the same. Rabbit food and tiny little right. brown pellets.
I don't know how it was. Anyway, when I looked it up, it was a big steak, and I think they got a little mad about it, but, yeah. you know.
So they woke up Easter morning to some rabbit shit
some
on their
poop
front.
On
basically, yeah, that's why.
And two rabbits in their front yard, and they're like, "How did these rabbits poop in a bag, tie it up, and then put it on our porch?"
Peter Cottontail is one crafty little rabbit.
Wow. Why did he give you the rabbit poop?
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess I was just mounting. He's a prankster too.
Oh.
But I don't know.
Yeah, I want to figure that one out. We got to call your buddy and ask him why he gave you a bag of rabbit poop.
Nah, I don't think that would be too good an idea.
I'm not right now, but I'd like to find out. Maybe we'll send an email or something.
Yeah, okay.
All right.
Yeah, stern email.
Well, okay, Dad. I knew I got that story wrong, so I wanted to hear your version of it. That's amazing. Thank you.
That's a beautiful story.
Yes.
Thank you.
Happy
Dave.
Easter. Let me talk to Mom.
Thank you. And happy Easter to you too. Here's Mom.
Okay. Odd, right? This is weird.
That is so funny.
Hey, Mom.
Hey.
Okay, so let's have your boobie review.
Okay.
What'd you see?
We saw Red Sparrow.
Oh, my gosh.
Interesting.
Oh, my gosh.
Is
you
that
saw that
scary?
Movie?
Yes. The beautiful Jennifer Lawrence was in it. She always does such a good job anyway. But it's the story of a young girl who all her life dreamed of dancing. And she became famous as a Russian ballerina until an accident her partner caused broke her leg. And so she had to retire from dancing. Mm-hmm. And she also had an invalid mother. I don't know what happened to the father, but the mother had to take care of her mother. But when she lost her job with the dance company, she was having trouble making ends meet. So her uncle, who worked for the Russian government, offered to help out, but it was help with a condition.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
She had to do exactly
Yeah. She had to do exactly as her uncle told her to, no questions asked.
Oh.
So they sent her off to a school that forced young people that were brilliant and beautiful to use their brains and their body and sex to trap.
Oh, so they went like a...
To trap what?
To trap them into giving them secrets.
Oh.
Oh, so it's like a spy, like a female James Bond, but instead of using
your
karate, she used her sexiness.
Yeah, she was forced to become a Red Sparrow because they wanted to use her because she was beautiful and her body was really nice and she was smart.
Yeah.
So
she went to like prostitute school.
I was never.
Yes. Oh, it was something else to see what they made those kids do.
Oh.
But her first mission was to gain the trust of a CIA agent to get him to reveal the name of a Russian mole.
Okay.
And like I said, there was a lot of sex and violence and drinking and a lot of smoking.
Did Dad like this movie?
Yes, he did.
I bet he did.
Yeah, I bet.
Uh-huh.
And so she's not only being forced by her own government, but by the people that the Russians wanted her to spy on.
Oh.
So there were a lot of twists and turns and even had me and Dad question what in the world was going on.
Yeah.
But it ends pretty good. And we enjoyed it tremendously. We like spy thrillers.
You like spy thrillers?
Yes.
Oh.
I never would have seen
that.
So
you like 50 Shades of Grey and spy thrillers.
Yeah.
I'm
getting an image of Miss Day.
Hey, I'm learning stuff that I've never known before. Okay, Mom.
What do you give it? How many thumbs up?
Yeah.
I would say 10.
Whoa! All right.
Yep. Wow.
Well, I got to go see this. You know, I tried to see it. You know that I went on a date when I was home, Mom? You remember that?
Yeah.
Just well, this last time?
Yeah.
Oh.
So I went to go see the Red Sparrow,
mm-hmm.
and the girl I was with couldn't sit still.
What are you?
And she's talking through the whole thing.
What?
Yeah. And I was like, I don't do that.
No.
And so I was like, hey, we don't have to finish this. So I didn't finish it. I said, let's go somewhere else because I was embarrassed. But
yeah, you don't want the other people.
Yeah,
around
other people.
You,
yeah.
Staring at
you. So I started and never. So I got to go finish it. But All right, Mom.
Wow.
Thank you for
that. That was lovely.
Yes.
Well, you're welcome. I hope you had a good birthday yesterday.
I certainly did, and thank you so much for allowing me to exist.
Oh, we got to see some more pictures next time you're at home. John,
oh,
you gotta
post
Mom. Some more pictures.
Okay.
Yeah, dig around. Find some really good embarrassing photos.
Or pictures of you on your birthday from, you know, when you were growing up.
Oh, yeah.
Did
okay.
he ever sit in the cake and eat it? My dad used to sit me in the cake.
Mom, go ahead.
No, but he was all in with all fingers and face. What is first year?
Yeah, there's a picture of that where they put the cake in front of a 1-year-old and I just dive straight in.
Yeah.
So. A red, curly red hair and those blue fingers and face and nose.
Yeah.
I was like a Red Sparrow.
Oh, yeah, Blue Sparrow.
All right, we'll see. I'll see you on Easter then.
Okay.
All right, thanks, Mom. I love you.
All right,
love you too.
Bye.
Bye.
There you go, folks. Betty,
well.
Betty Reed with another one. She keeps shocking me with it. I had no idea that she would ever like 50 Shades of Grey or this movie. Have you seen Red Sparrow?
No.
Are you going to?
No.
You're not a fan?
I don't really like Jennifer Lawrence that
thank
much.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
I know. She's like
you
talking
might be the
about
only
how
person.
Beautiful she is, and I'm just giving you like a little big thumbs down.
Well, yeah,
like,
I wasn't going to.
Well, it's not that I don't think she's. I think she's obviously a very beautiful girl, but I'm just like a little over. Like, I just.
She just talks a lot. A little talky.
I just feel like she's always in everything, and then she's always nominated for an Oscar, and it's just like,
yeah.
I don't know. It becomes very New England Patriots to me, you know, where they're
right.
just like, it's like Meryl Streep getting nominated. I'm like, geez.
But look, she's very pretty. But there's, when I look at her face, right, there's something in her eyes that I don't know if it's like maybe like 2% Asperger's, like 1% Down syndrome. A tiny little bit, like
a
her
dash
eye,
of downs.
Look, a dash of downs. I'm talking like 1%. And don't get me wrong, I would do everything I could to be with this girl.
Yeah.
But like, there's something there. I don't know what it is. Have you noticed this at all? Look, get
no.
a good look at her face next time.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I just feel. Yeah. I don't know. I just started not liking. You know what happens? You don't like a couple movies, or you see them do a movie where you're like, why would you do that?
Yeah.
You know, because like maybe they were, you know, licensed by the studio to have to do three
yeah.
movies at, you know, whatever
right,
studio
right,
it is,
right.
and then they get trapped into one that they don't want to do.
Right.
But then, like, I don't know, there are just a couple in a row, so now it's like I just don't have a taste in my mouth for anything that
yeah.
she does, you know.
Well, I did try to see that movie, and she does get totally naked in that movie.
In Red Sparrow?
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah, and there's some penis in there too for you.
I don't like that.
I don't
Nobody
either.
Nobody wants to see that.
Yeah, everyone's talking
Only
about
dudes like that body part. I mean, we like. I mean, obviously, as women, we like it.
Not
like
visually. It's
necessity.
Just like you
yeah.
need it for certain things, but you don't want to stare at it.
No, you know, I have that whole bit about like that's. Like men are the only reason dick pics exist. You know, like it was not our idea.
Right, right.
We weren't like, send me a pic. Like, no.
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 No, no. I've only been with one girl who asked to see it.
A lot of times girls ask that just so that
just
you'll text them
friends.
Back. No, so you'll text them back.
Oh, it's hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I do this bit now sometimes where when I got single and I was online talking to different girls and I met this one girl and Facebook led to texting led to sexting. And then I don't know where she just said, show it to me. I was like, oh, I don't want to do
Your
that.
Your wallet?
Yeah. Sure, that's what it was. She goes, show
and?
Me your cock. I'm like, oh boy, I don't want to do that. But I don't want the sexting to end. So I just Googled big ginger
yeah.
dick and picked one and sent it to her.
That's what I always think guys would do anyway.
Right.
I'm like, why would
well, I'm not
you do that?
Mine.
Yeah.
There's way better ones out there.
No, but also just like, yeah, it's like I won't allow anybody, like I'm not going to take any dirty photos of myself, like
uh-huh.
cuz I just don't want them living anywhere.
Right.
It's not that I think my boyfriend would show them to anybody, but I'm just like not the person that would take them anyway.
Well, and he could lose a phone and someone could find it and
yeah,
lots of things could happen.
People can hack your phone. I mean,
right.
that's how all the not to say that like my pictures would go everywhere, but like I would just be no, I feel like that's just a very personal thing.
Sure, save
so
it.
Like if I'm going to show you my body, it's going to be in person and that is it.
Right.
So
yeah.
yeah. Well, you had a date when you went home? You didn't tell me about that.
No, I did. Yeah. This yep.
So you're back out there.
I'm back. I'm out there.
Yeah.
I just don't always talk about it. Cuz I never know who's listening.
Oh, you mean yes. Right. True, true, true.
So I did go on a date. Sweet girl. We went to see Red Sparrow. She was talking the whole time.
Right.
And just
fidgeting.
Well,
about it?
In my brain, I was going like, hey, shut up.
Yeah.
I'm not the kind of person to talk during films.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Because that's somebody that's
just
would heckle during
thing.
A comedy show.
Yeah, 100%. So I was getting upset for that. I was mad.
Mm-hmm.
Right away, I was mad. So I said, hey, if you're not into this, we could go. Do something else.
Yeah.
You know, we don't have to stay here. So the tickets were free. My mom had a coupon, so I didn't pay for the tickets.
Love it.
So I'm like, let's just go somewhere else. And then this girl,
mm-hmm.
okay, spills her beer on the way out and goes,
Wait.
John Reaper, everybody.
No.
Yeah.
Wait, at the movie theater she spilled her beer?
Uh-huh. Yeah, you can buy beer at the theater.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so she had
I thought
some beer.
She brought a beer to the
I wouldn't put it past her.
Wow.
But yeah, spills her drink and then yells my name in hickory. And I'm like, what are you doing?
What are you doing?
I'm trying to sneak in here.
Yeah.
So then we go to another bar. Then I get recognized.
Yeah.
And then I just, it was over.
And it makes
it
her
It didn't
day.
Go, it was fun, but I don't know if I'll
yeah.
do that one again.
Yeah.
But yeah, I will finish Red Sparrow at some point because I want to see it. And plus, Jennifer Lawrence gets totally naked. There you go, folks.
That's why you're going to see it, yeah.
You want to plug anything?
No, just remember, you know, sarahtiana.com, all my dates. But I should be in Arizona at the House of Comedy, and then the Nashville Comedy Festival with John Reed.
That's right.
And then I'll be in Bloomington, Indiana.
Boom. There you have it. And all my tour dates are at johnreep.com, JONREEP. I'm probably coming to your town. I mean, I'm in a
private jet.
I'm everywhere. Yeah. Me and Sarah and Daniel and Brad Paisley are going to take a double-decker jet. So y'all come see us, and thank you for listening to another episode of the Fried Podcast.
Happy Friday.
And the radio up, I like to see sunrise. See the love in my woman's eyes. Feel the touch of my precious child. And no mother's love.